Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You ready to dive into a new paper with me?
Always. What we got today?
Today we're heading into the fascinating world of beetles.
Okay.
But not just any beetles. Get ready for it. These are called Saproxylic beetles.
Saproxylic.
Yeah, pretty cool name, right?
Yeah.
I bet you'll impress someone with that at your next trivia night.
Uh-huh, maybe.
What makes these Saproxylic beetles so special is that they depend entirely on dead or decaying wood.
Oh, wow. So like nature's recyclers?
Exactly.
Cool.
So we've got this brand new research paper that dives deep into these incredible insects.
Okay.
And it's focused on some old growth forests over in Turkey.
Interesting.
On the Kızıldağ and Kapadokya Peninsula.
Mm.
I was reading up on this. And get this. This research was actually presented at the second international symposium on the biodiversity of these peninsulas.
Wow, the second symposium.
I know, right? Yeah. So these forests are obviously grabbing the attention of scientists worldwide.
For sure.
So before we get into the beetles themselves, can you paint us a picture of what these regions in Turkey are actually like?
Well, both these peninsulas are incredibly mountainous and forested, which makes them, you know, pretty unique environments.
Yeah.
And when we talk about old growth forests, we're talking about these really complex ecosystems.
I see.
With trees that have been around for centuries.
Right.
This creates such a rich, you know, tapestry of habitats for all sorts of creatures, including our saproxylic friends.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So how did the researchers actually go about studying these beetles?
Well, they set up these traps in specific oak and beech trees, making sure that they were spaced out to minimize disturbance, you know.
Smart.
Yeah.
And what did they find?
Well, they collected over 2,500 beetles.
Whoa.
Representing 27 different families.
Wow, 27 different families.
Yeah.
Just in those two little areas.
Pretty amazing, right?
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, the diversity is amazing. And each of those families plays such a unique role in that forest ecosystem.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so like some are specialized in breaking down certain types of wood.
Oh, cool.
Others prefer certain stages of decay. It's like this perfectly orchestrated system, you know?
It's fascinating to think about.
Yeah.
So what happens if some of those families or even just a few species start to disappear?
Yeah.
What does that mean for the forest's overall health?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons these studies are so important.
Okay.
Because the presence or absence of certain saproxylic beetles can be a really key indicator of the ecosystem's health.
I see.
They're incredibly sensitive to changes in their environment.
Right.
So their populations can tell us a lot about the overall balance of the forest.
It sounds like these beetles were a bit like a canary in a coal mine, but for the forest ecosystem.
Yeah. That's a great comparison.
Okay, so let's get into some of the study's key findings. One thing that really jumped out at me was the difference in beetle diversity between the two regions.
Okay.
Kızıldağ had significantly more species than Kapadokya.
Yeah.
They found over 123 species in just one type of oak tree.
That's incredible.
I know. That's a remarkable concentration of biodiversity.
It is. There are a few factors that could contribute to this difference.
Oh, okay.
The researchers suggest that the oak trees in Kızıldağ are generally older, providing more diverse microhabitats for the beetles to thrive in.
So you can imagine these like ancient trees with all their nooks and crannies, perfect for beetles to, you know, lay their eggs and find food.
Exactly.
So it makes sense that older trees, having gone through more stages of decay, would be more attractive to a wider range of beetles.
Right.
But wouldn't that also make them more vulnerable to human disturbance?
Mm.
Especially if those disturbances are disrupting the natural processes of decay?
You've hit on a crucial point.
Yep.
Human activities can have a significant impact on these delicate ecosystems.
For sure. And that brings us to another important finding from the study.
Okay.
Several of the beetle species discovered are listed as threatened or endangered on both the European and Mediterranean red lists.
It's concerning to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it raises an important question about the conservation efforts needed to protect these vulnerable populations.
It also makes me wonder, what are the specific criteria for a beetle to end up on that list?
Yeah.
Like, what makes them so vulnerable?
Yeah.
Is it habitat loss, climate change, or something else entirely?
Well, it's a complex interplay of factors.
Mm-hmm.
Habitat loss is a major driver, of course.
Right.
You know, as forests are cleared for agriculture or development or even unsustainable logging practices, the beetles lose their homes and their food sources.
Yeah. And I imagine climate change is adding another layer of pressure.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, altering temperatures and rainfall patterns, which could further disrupt these ecosystems.
Exactly. These beetles have evolved over, you know, millennia to thrive in a very specific conditions, mm-hmm. and any significant changes can throw them off balance. It's like pulling a thread from a tapestry.
Right.
It can just unravel the whole thing.
Wow, that's a great analogy. The study mentioned that in the Cas de Dieu region, one specific oak species, Quercus frenetto, hosted all 123 beetle species identified in that area.
I know, it's pretty remarkable.
That's incredible.
It really highlights the importance of individual tree species.
Right.
Especially those, you know, old majestic ones supporting a whole web of life. You know, we often think of biodiversity in terms of large areas.
Mm-hmm.
But this finding reminds us that even a single tree can be a microcosm of diversity.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that every piece of the puzzle matters.
Absolutely.
But what about the Capadeo region, which had lower overall beetle diversity?
Yeah.
Are there any standout trees there?
Yeah. Even though the total number of beetle species was lower in Capadeo, Quercus petraea, another oak species, hosted the most variety there.
So even in areas with less overall diversity, there are still pockets of richness.
Exactly.
Specific trees that act as hotspots for certain species.
Yeah.
It makes me think about the importance of understanding these microhabitats within a forest.
Absolutely. It's not just about conserving large swaths of land.
Right.
But also about recognizing and protecting those key areas within a forest that support the most vulnerable species.
And remember, this study focused solely on oak and beech trees.
Right.
What about all the other types of dead wood out there?
Yeah.
It makes you wonder how many more ceproxylic beetles might be hidden within those ecosystems.
I mean, totally.
Each with their own unique role to play.
It's mind-boggling to think about the sheer number of species we might still be unaware of.
Yeah, really is.
It's a reminder of how much we still have to learn about the natural world and the intricate connections within it.
Okay, so we've talked about the incredible diversity of these beetles.
Yeah.
Their importance to the forest ecosystem and the threats they face.
Mm-hmm.
But what can we actually do to help protect these fascinating creatures?
Right.
Especially those endangered species.
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And the researchers actually offer some valuable insights based on their findings.
Okay. I'm all ears. What solutions do they propose?
Well, first and foremost,
they
emphasize the importance of preserving old-growth forests.
Okay.
You know, these forests with their mature trees and intricate network of microhabitats are like havens for ceproxylic beetles.
So protecting those ancient giants is crucial.
It is.
But what about forests that aren't considered old growth?
Yeah.
Are there any steps we can take to improve those habitats?
Absolutely. The researchers suggest implementing sustainable forestry practices that mimic natural processes.
Okay.
It's about working with nature, not against it.
I like that. Can you give us some specific examples of what that might look like in practice?
Sure. One key aspect is leaving some dead wood in the forest instead of clearing it all away.
Interesting.
It may seem counterintuitive, but those decaying logs are vital for ceproxylic beetles.
Okay.
They provide food, shelter, and breeding grounds.
So it's about recognizing the value of what might appear to be like waste or debris.
Exactly.
What else can be done to minimize our impact on these delicate ecosystems?
Well, minimizing human disturbance is crucial.
Yeah.
You know, logging, development, and even excessive recreational activities can disrupt the delicate balance of these forests.
It sounds like finding that sweet spot between utilizing our natural resources and preserving biodiversity is a constant balancing act.
You're right. It's a continuous process of learning and adapting our practices as we gain a deeper understanding of, you know, the intricate web of life in these forests.
This deep dive has certainly been eye-opening. I'm starting to see these tiny beetles in a whole new light, recognizing their crucial role in maintaining healthy forest ecosystems.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can find when you really dig into the research.
Yeah, right. Speaking of new perspectives, this research paper also raises some interesting questions about the future of scientific inquiry in this field. Well, toward the end of the paper, the researchers acknowledged that their study was confined to a specific area and just two types of trees.
They encourage further research, expanding to other tree species and forest types.
So basically they're saying there's a whole universe of ceproxylic beetles out there waiting to be discovered.
Exactly. It's a big world out there.
And that raises an important question for me.
Yeah.
What other ecologically significant creatures might we be overlooking?
Right.
Simply because we haven't looked closely enough.
That's a great question.
It's like a call to action.
It is.
For all of us to keep exploring and questioning.
Yeah.
Even in our own backyards.
Absolutely. Curiosity and a willingness to explore are essential for understanding and protecting the natural world.
Couldn't agree more. This deep dive has truly been a journey. We started with a research paper about beetles in Turkey.
Right.
And ended up with a whole new perspective on the interconnectedness of life and the importance of conservation.
I love that. That's what the deep dive is all about.
Yeah.
We aim to spark your curiosity.
For sure.
Deepen your understanding and leave you with a sense of wonder about the world around you.
So as we wrap up,
yeah,
we want to leave you with a thought-provoking question to ponder.
What hidden wonders are waiting to be discovered in your own local ecosystem?
Take a closer look.
Yeah.
Explore with an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be surprised by what you find.
Exactly.
Until next time, keep diving deep.